Hi everyone, and welcome to the Voice Magazine interview series. I'm Saskia, the assistant editor and the host of interviews, where I interview creatives from all different backgrounds and all different creative disciplines on what they've been up to, what new things they are working on, and how lockdown's been treating them. We have great lineups and great guests at every interviews, so do stay tuned and I'll see you on Instagram. Today I'm going to be interviewing Emmy Tanimura, who is a fashion designer and graduate from the London College of Fashion, and she is going to be talking to us about her new clothing line, which has won a lot of great awards. And yeah, she's going to be telling us a bit about her creative process, how she came up with the line, and what she's been up to now. So can you just tell us a bit about yourself and your creative background to start?
So my name is Emmy. I graduated this year studying fashion design and development from the London College of Fashion. I'm currently on a six-month coaching program with the Centre for Fashion Enterprise, who are helping me launch my brand the summer of next year. The brand will specialise in functional, modern, ethically made unisex outdoor wear consisting of transformable garments that adapt to the wearer's needs. So, yeah, my focus is on functional, kind of like bridging the gap between function and fashion.
Yeah. Did you come up with a brand name? Did you think of one?
Yes, but I'm going to wait until the launch, I think.
Okay.
not 100%, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just before we get into, you know, what you've kind of been designing and your clothing line, what made you want to study fashion?
Well, fashion is such a huge industry. It will always be an important part of society and culture. I've always wanted to be in a creative field. Mm-hmm. My first job was as a cake decorator, and I really enjoyed the process of sketching to making to seeing the final product. And I think the process in fashion is the same. It's just a different medium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoy making, designing, and I really like designing for purpose as well.
Yeah, it's definitely something you have a natural flair for, I would say. I've seen your cakes and now I've seen your fashion, so you're definitely in the right place. So your clothing line is called Survivalist and it's adapting to change.
Yeah, it was, well, that's the name of just the graduate collection.
Okay.
Yeah, that won't be the name for the brand that I'm making, but my graduate collection, it was entitled Survivalist Adapting to Change. It consisted of transformable outdoor wear that can adapt in challenging changing environments.
Mm-hmm.
The inspiration came from analyzing how people are able to quickly adapt during difficult times, especially seeing it this year. I focused my research on rough sleepers and the hidden homeless youth who aren't necessarily sleeping on the streets but have become estranged from their parents. I think there's a stigma, I think we were talking about this before,
mm-hmm.
that if you aren't a rough sleeper then you don't need help when it's two kind of different homeless. I think they both need attention. And I hear too often about teenagers entering adulthood who have to give up their education in order to survive due to estrangement or situations that are totally out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
So the second look from my collection was specifically designed for rough sleepers. I designed a trench coat that can transform into a tent acting as emergency temporary shelter. The bottom half of the trench coat can detach and instantly inflate into a one-person tent. The tent itself is simple and easy to erect with built-in inflatable poles, which eliminates the hassle of carrying around heavy tent rods rather than the whole coat transforming. I designed the trench coat so it can detach from the waist so that you're still left with a jacket when you want to leave the tent, because that was like one of the issues through designing. I was thinking, you know, if the whole thing turns into a tent, you know, you're left without a jacket anymore and you might fold. So yeah, that was my thought process. So
I mean, it's actually amazing. I remember first seeing your, you know, your Instagram page and your designs and stuff, and I was just like, wow, this is, you know, I mean, the concept is, I don't really think it's one that many people would have like come across or even really thought about, but when you look at your reasons for creating something like that, you realize how much like it's needed and how much it's definitely missing. You know, And yeah, I think it's great. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think for me, I did want to create something fun and interesting and something that has like an instant effect on people, and you don't have to explain it. You just show it to them and they know, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't want to make it too gimmicky. And I think with those, you know, those festival ones, they're quite unsustainable as well, which is an issue. You know, you see a lot of them on the floor. And so like the thing that I want to do, I just wanted to make something high quality. And, you know, you can just have forever.
Yeah. Mm. And the color, really loving that red as well. And
yeah. You know,
yeah. When you think of, I don't think you'd think of something being so practical to actually look attractive as well. And you've managed to do both. So, well, and I'm not the only one who's impressed with this, because you've won a lot of awards for this line. Tell us about it.
So, because of the pandemic, all the shows were cancelled, the fashion shows, which was a real shame because everyone was looking forward to it. But I feel like a lot of those platforms, the student platforms, really have adapted to that. And they've been releasing like these competitions and showcasing platforms for students and stuff. And there was a recent competition. It was a collaboration between Arts Thread, ID Magazine, and Gucci. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I won that one in the sports and denim category by Judges' Choice. And they funded me, I think Gucci funded £1,500 for that. So that's going to go towards my business. So I was featured on Grazia, WWD Magazine, the Vanilla issue, ATOP Magazine, and an ID and Vice, obviously. And earlier this year, I was awarded the Mead Final Project Award, which helps UAL students fund their collection. And I came first place in the LCF Student Enterprise Challenge, and they awarded me £4,000 to put towards my business. And that was, I think, in March. March time was like around my birthday. And
what a great birthday.
Yeah. And the co-founder of ArtsThread, because of that competition, the thing that I've realized is I would recommend, if you're a student, apply for everything, because you don't really know what the outcome would be. Mm-hmm. And when I won the ArtsThread competition, the co-founder of ArtsThread called me last week, actually, to tell me that being selected to be part of Liberty Fairs, which is like a fair in America where brands showcase their work and there's lots of buyers and interest, and you can have like wholesale sales, which is absolutely like amazing. Especially for like just the graduate. I think it was just like something unexpected. I think a lot of times, like, you apply for something and even if you don't win, you sometimes could get these like opportunities that you never really anticipated.
Yeah,
that was amazing. So that's like the plan for next year, to be part of Liberty Fairs. And in September, I was featured in an exhibition called Resilience in Mayfair. Mm-hmm. It was just like a showcase with lots of different artists, and kind of like their concept being about resilience and what resilience means to them.
Yeah,
that was fun too.
Well, honestly, so will you be going to America in 2021?
It depends, because they're still unsure themselves because of the situation. But
oh yeah, it's a lot worse over there than it is here right now.
Because normally the shows are physical. They're having one in February, which is going to be digital. But hopefully the one in September, in summer, will be physical, so I can go to America.
Exactly. I mean, because like I said, your idea is, you know, it's universal. We don't just have hidden homelessness or, you know, homeless teens and stuff in the UK. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And this is definitely something that a lot of people could get behind. And
yeah,
it's all down to you. So I'm excited for your journey and see what happens. How hard was like the creative process? Because you were saying earlier about all the materials that you use, and they're sustainable, and you're always looking for new sustainable materials. Like, how hard was it to narrow down, you know, what you were gonna
use? I'm very interested in discovering new materials that have interesting functions within themselves. I found fabrics that change color in light or touch, ones that absorb light, patterns you can only see with a camera flash, and sometimes materials, these kind of materials influence the design. Mm-hmm. And rather than normally I would design first and then find the fabrics and then develop it through that. But because I worked for a supply company, it was very much involved with sourcing, contacting mills and discovering new materials, exciting materials.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the material like I used for the backpack, that was a fabric called Suplex, which is breathable, waterproof. I found that in Korea. They have like a huge warehouse in Korea with lots of different technical materials.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to incorporate upcycled deadstock fabric, not only for the cost, but the university supplies free fabric for students, like a certain amount
mm-hmm.
of yardage. So yeah, they have some really good fabric sometimes. It's like a hit or miss. Sometimes they don't, sometimes they do. So I'm very interested in materials, and I think I want to definitely incorporate something interesting into what I do in the future.
So outside of you know, like your brand, I know that you're still developing that. Are they available to people, like for people to buy at the moment, or is it
because people message me saying, oh, how do I buy this? It's actually just the things that I made, just my graduate collection. So obviously, I haven't manufactured them. And mm-hmm. but, you know, when I do launch next year, hopefully in the summer, I would have sorted out the manufacturing, the mills, everything. So I've got a lot of designs in my mind right now that I want to develop, not just like the bomber bag, but stuff that's kind of similar, easy to function, that has a purpose. I did a lot of sketching my final year.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to like take those through into my brand and develop them further. But because of COVID, I could only make two of my garments. That was one of the things that the pandemic did, was I couldn't complete my collection. So that's why I only have two of the garments, two of the looks.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they're not for sale.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah.
So you said that COVID obviously stopped you from being able to make all of your designs. Was it, you know, was it like a creative free-for-all for you, you know, like having a bit more time, or did it just completely disrupt your plans?
Well, we didn't really have more time. Well, we had a little bit more time. But they kind of just changed the criteria, because usually what you do is hand in like a physical sketchbook, hand in the physical USB and things like that, and mm-hmm. obviously hand in the physical garments. But instead, we only submitted everything digital, and they made the shows digital as well. So, yeah, the thing that prevented me was using the some of the specialized machines that you can only get on campus, and the campuses were closed. Because if you check out my page, you can see that the tent trench that I made, it has like the inflatable poles.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only make that using a specialist machine, because you're making you're using PVC, which is hard to bond. So, you know, things like that, I had to just find solutions and just kind of adapt, I guess. And yeah, I ended up just making everything from home. And then I luckily was able to go to Korea, which I did the shoot. So that's where I actually did the photo shoot.
And you actually went to Korea?
Yeah, I went to Korea.
Oh, wow.
We were on lockdown in London.
Mm-hmm.
And like I had like a few people that were on board with like helping me there. So it just made sense for me to go there. I was lucky enough to have that opportunity, but it's just a shame, like, not a lot of people had that chance to
mm-hmm.
make something, because we were planning to do like this massive show for LCF students. Yeah, obviously it was very unexpected. Everything was cancelled. So yeah, we just had to do what we could.
I mean, there are certain, you know, like creative professions who have been able to all go online, you know, like theatre shows, they've been able to do things like that. But if you're creating fashion and you're using all of these, you know, like different experimental materials and methods, then yeah, I can imagine it wasn't easy for a lot of your class to finish. Like,
Most people didn't make their garments, which was a shame, because mm-hmm. everyone was really excited, you know, especially for a creative degree. Most of the time, the main thing is the physical.
Yeah.
Whether it's like fine art or sculpting or anything fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really we had to really adapt.
Yeah, I can imagine it must have been hard for sculptures as well, because that's not always something that you can just kind of bring in your living room.
Yeah.
But so your you know, like attire pioneering change for like homelessness is not something that you would expect from fashion. I know, like, fashion shows, you know, they have a lot of themes, but to take it to the extent that you have done is very... Did you get any, like, pushback from, like, lecturers or from peers when you were designing it? Was there any opposition?
Yeah, I think you just have to be really careful, because obviously, you know, when you're... Most of the time when... I feel like most students... when they're designing, it's fun. Well, fashion is fun, you know, it's something mm-hmm. you decorate your bodies and, you know, it should be a fun thing. But when you have like a serious message, or you're incorporating politics or something, you just have to be really careful that you're not offending anyone, or you just have to tread carefully in how you approach it. That mm-hmm. it can't be too gimmicky to the point where it's like, you know, oh, you're just using fashion as a way to, I don't know, like it doesn't actually help the community you want to serve. And I didn't really have pushbacks from peers and my lecturers. They were very supportive. But, you know, like once it's out there, like when people started sharing my videos and magazines and stuff, and it got like 50,000 views, obviously there's loads of comments. And some people would say, oh, you know, I hope they're actually doing something with this, or, you know, like it's easy to criticize when you're trying to do something like that. But with my brand, I do really want to help communities with the collection. It could be a case of buy one, give one, or percentage donations. But in the future, I do want to employ homeless people into the production process so they can begin to rebuild their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think you just have to think creatively in how you can genuinely help the community you want to serve. And I think nowadays fashion brands need to take responsibility in the way they run their business. And, you know, with ethical production, helping social causes, or just being more sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. I think when, because like you said, like when it comes to fashion, if you use the Black Lives Matter, for example, it was a case of, oh, I, you know, they've posted a black square. I hope that they're going to do more than just, you know, post a black square in their Instagram feed. And I think when, you know, when you do incorporate fashion with a cause, it's just people will kind of question, oh, I hope they don't just, you know, stop that here. I hope they didn't just do this because it looks good, and then nothing to back it up afterwards. But I think they just kind of need to give you a bit of a chance.
Yeah.
Actually, because you're not, you know, you're not Gucci yet, you know, you're still trying to develop. So I think it's a little bit unfair for people to question that at this early stage. But, you know, people on the internet will do what people on the internet do. So.
Yeah. I kind of realised that. I think people's initial reaction, I don't know, I think people in general can be quite toxic, especially on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they immediately can jump to conclusion of the most negative thing, or, like, using them as a way to... I don't know. It's just, like, it's so easy to just jump on the negative train when... So I think I just feel like you just have to be careful, like, in the way you approach it. Mm-hmm. And... you know, just really think about, like, what is the purpose? You know, what are you trying to, what's the aim? What's the objective?
You don't have, you know, bad intentions behind it. It's not a gimmick. You have, you know, like, personal experiences with it as well. So I think people just need to just let you get on with it. So to finish up, I just want to know if you have any advice that you'd give to younger people wanting to get into the fashion industry. And
I was like dreading this answer, like thinking about, oh gosh, okay. Because the thing is, I just graduated and I'm still just developing right now with the brand. I'm working with the CFE and hopefully launching next year. So to be honest, I don't feel like I'm in the position to give anyone advice, because I haven't yet like started the brand. But yeah, I can give advice for students, fashion students, if you know, you ever like doubt your collection. Like I had a lot of doubt with mine. I think I just applied for everything, like everything I could possibly find. There's always like opportunities that come up with like on Instagram or your student emails. I would just apply for everything because you just never know when it's where it's going to lead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always like, you know, one thing happens and then people just talk about it and recommend it. And like, you know, it just, you just never know. So that's the advice I would give to student to, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm in the fashion industry yet.
I mean, even for a graduate, like what you've accomplished just over this past year alone is some things that people like working in fashion haven't done in a lifetime.
Mm.
Like, I don't think you should play down your success. I know you want to, you know, tread lightly and maybe not jinx anything, but you're doing a really good thing. So, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for next year. Hopefully next year will be better than this year.
That's the hope.
But yeah, I'll definitely be posting and updating on my page.
Yeah. So what is your social so that people can follow you?
So it's just at Tanimura Emmy.
Put that on the story. But no, okay. Well, Emmy, honestly, it was great talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
As well. Thanks everybody for watching. Take care.
Today's episode was made possible by Voice Magazine, an online platform for young people interested in art and culture. You can read Voice over at voicemag.uk and find it on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as Voicemag UK. The Voice contributors are also on Instagram over at voice.extra. If you are looking for another podcast to listen to, the contributors released a Voice Extra podcast every Saturday, where they talk about the pieces they've produced and the culture they've been enjoying. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider helping us to make more with a donation of any amount at voicemag.uk/donate. Thanks to Kevin MacLeod for the use of the track Thief in the Night. You can find more of his work on incomputech.com. L. Farrell Kingsley was a sound engineer and producer, and Tom Innes was the executive producer.